Amen. Praise the Lord for the message and song this morning. What a blessing it's been just being in the house of the Lord this morning. I trust you've already received a blessing from this place. And what a joy it is to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ and hear music just like that. What a great blessing that is. I want you to turn your Bibles to Jonah chapter 2 this morning. Jonah in chapter 2. Many of us are familiar with the story of Jonah. What a fascinating story it is. Jonah runs from God. And God has a unique way of getting his attention. And Jonah chapter 2 is the recording, Jonah's recording of his prayer there in the belly of the great fish that God had designed to swallow Jonah up. And it's a fascinating prayer, and I want to study this prayer this morning. If you'll stand once you've found your place in the Word of God, we're going to read Jonah chapter 2. We're going to read verse 7. We'll eventually be studying the whole passage. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 7, we'll take our text from this verse this morning. The Bible says in verse 7, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple." If you make a habit of underlining things in your Bible, I encourage you to underline that phrase there, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "What to do when you don't know what to do." What to do when you don't know what to do. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Lord, as we come before you today, we are thankful for your blessings. We're thankful for your goodness, Lord. Even the opportunity to be in such a place as this today, Lord, is a blessing. To hear the message and music that we've heard this morning, to be able to praise you through our own singing, Lord, what a blessing it is. And then, Lord, as we're able to just set aside a time to study your word, I pray that you'd be with us this morning, be with the preaching of your word, Lord. Help it to be exactly what we have need of. I pray that you'd apply it to our hearts. I pray that you'd be with me as I speak, and Lord, that you'd use me in this place. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. That phrase that Jonah uses there, it's an interesting phrase, isn't it? "When my soul fainted within me." The idea there was that the troubles that he was presently enduring shut out some of the hope that he had within him. And the truth is, we've probably all been there at some point in our lives, haven't we? Where Jonah's at in this passage, it seems like maybe just the troubles are billowing over us all over the place. And we look left and it seems like we can find nothing but trouble and suffering. And we look right and we look for an answer in this and that. And there are times in our lives when we come to where Jonah's come here, where our troubles shut out the hope that we have within us. Our soul faints within us, and sometimes in despair we throw up our hands because we don't see any way out. And yet that's exactly where Jonah finds himself in this passage. And we understand Jonah's circumstances. They're a result of him running from the Lord. In chapter 1, God had called Jonah, his prophet, to go to Nineveh. Jonah said, "I don't want to go to Nineveh. I want to do what I want to do." Imagine the prophet of the Lord running from God. And Jonah runs and he heads towards Tarshish. He gets on a ship, and we find Jonah here in chapter 2 because of his sin, because of his choice, at a loss of fellowship with God. And unfortunately for you and I, there are times in our lives, aren't there, in which we do something similar to Jonah. Oh, it may not be of this magnitude. But we find ourselves choosing what we want to choose over what God would have us to do. And we find ourselves in a temporary loss of fellowship with God. Much like Jonah finds himself here in the belly of this whale, crying out to God. And we've all been there as Christians, no doubt about it. But I want you to think about this. When we're away from God, we experience a loss of fellowship. But praise the Lord because of His forgiveness and mercy. Because God is a God of grace and mercy, even in those times of loss of fellowship, listen, we can cry out to God and that loss of fellowship is only temporary. If we'll seek God's face and we'll say, "God, I'm sorry for this decision, this action that I've made in my life, Lord, I'm looking to you," He'll restore that fellowship because He is a God of grace and mercy. What a blessing that those times of loss of fellowship many times are just temporary. And as we look to God, He restores that fellowship and we once again experience life as He's intended us to. Here's what I love about this passage of Scripture. Jonah is in the midst of extreme difficulty. There's no doubt about it. He's gotten on the ship and there's this storm that comes and he's been thrown overboard and now he's swallowed by a fish. That would be a bad day. I just want you to think about that. But here's what Jonah finds. He finds that God has been nothing but faithful in his life. We sang that song this morning, "Great is thy faithfulness," and how true that is. The God that we serve is a faithful God. And when it was time for Jonah to look back to God, Jonah found God right where he had always been. What a blessing that we see. As we go through our lives, certainly we find ourselves dealing with seasons of difficulty from time to time. We come in this morning and we're gathered here in this place, and I don't know the needs of everyone that's gathered here today, but I understand this, that many people are hurting. Many people are suffering just through what life normally brings their way. And the truth is, we come and listen, suffering comes in various shapes and sizes. Suffering comes from various things. We see here in the scripture, Jonah's suffering came because of the decision to walk away from God, because of his own sin. And yet there are times in the Christian life, listen, that we'll make a decision similar to Jonah's and we'll have to deal with the consequences of that decision. Many times it's the suffering that we go through. And we can point to that and we can say in the midst of that, listen, when God gets our attention, we can say, oh, I know exactly where this came from. It came from my choice to disobey God. But the Bible teaches us that suffering not only comes from times in which we sin, but there are times in which God, designing a work of faith in us, will send a time of trial. Will send a time of suffering. I think about God's servant Job. We study him in the scriptures. What a wonderful story we see there is Job is an upright man. He's one that fears God. He's one that eschews evil, the Bible says, and yet God allows a trial to come into his life to build his faith. This morning in our Sunday school hour, we studied about David. David there in the palace and how God designed a trial to come into his life to build his faith, to prepare him to be the king that God would have him to be. You see, the truth is suffering can come from various sources. Sometimes it does come from our sin. And sometimes it does come as a result of God just allowing it to come into our life. But here's what I want you to see. No matter what comes by way of suffering, we can take a blessing in the fact that it's only a temporary time of suffering. What a blessing to understand as we see Jonah here suffering. It's only temporary. As you see Job suffering, there is victory that's to be made later in the life of Job. It's only a temporary time of suffering. But I want you to see this as well. In both of those situations, it required the person that was suffering to look to God for deliverance. It required them to look to God and say, God, would you deliver me this from this? And once again, they saw that God was faithful. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning. I don't know what God has allowed maybe to come into your life or what trials that you're in, but I understand this from time to time, we as a people suffer. We deal with difficulties in life. And we can learn much from this prayer of Jonah about how to deal with the circumstances of life, what to do when, like Jonah says in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me. I want you to see, first of all, very quickly this morning, in the times of difficulty, in the times of suffering, God is always waiting to hear from His children. God is always waiting to hear from His children. You say, why? Well, because He can help us. He longs for us to come to Him with tears in our eyes, with a prayer upon our voice, and say, Lord, would you help me? Sheree and I have been blessed to have 4 children. And God has entrusted to us. And I remember being excited as we found out we were expecting our first child. I remember going to the doctor and they did the ultrasound and they said, it looks like you're having a boy. And I was excited. I grew up with boys. Other than my mom, obviously, we didn't have any girls in our house. We didn't know emotions. We didn't know any of that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, man, I can do this. I can do boys. I'm a boy myself. Praise the Lord, right? And then our second child was another boy. And praise the Lord, another boy. And we were excited because we didn't have to spend extra money on girl cribs and all that kind of stuff, you know. But then we had 2 boys and we got to thinking, well, it might be nice to have a girl. Have a little princess, you know. And so the Lord did. He blessed us with 2 little girls. And they are daddy's princesses. They're a blessing. But I'll tell you what I found once I got married and once I had two girls in my house. I learned that I don't know a whole lot about girls. I didn't know that you could just cry for no reason. I had no clue that would happen. And I found that on several occasions. Just have to have a good cry every now and then. And there have been more than one occasion that I've walked to one of my girls and they've got crocodile tears streaming down their eyes. And those of you dads that have emotional girls, you can sympathize. You know where I'm at. And I'll look at them and I'll say, Aubrey, or I'll say, Carissa, what are you crying for? Because as a dad, I want to help them through that time. I don't know what's bothering them. What are you crying for? And I'm not kidding you. This has happened on more than one occasion. They'll look at me and they'll shrug their shoulders and tears are streaming down their face and they'll say, I don't know. Can I tell you, as a dad, that is a frustrating thing. I want to fix it, man. If it's a boy that's bothering my daughter, I'm going to go get him, right? I'm going to take care of whatever it takes to take care of the problem there, because as a dad, I want to fix things. And yet they can't tell me what's going on with them. They don't even know themselves why they're crying. And yet I say all that to say this. Isn't it a wonderful thing as a child of God that we cry out to Him? We may not even be able to express in our voice what we're feeling. We just know we're overwhelmed by difficulty, and we just know that there's a trial in our lives, and we may not even be able to frame into words what we're feeling, but our Heavenly Father already knows. Amen. Our Heavenly Father says, I can help you through this if you'll just look to me. Yeah. The wonderful thing about God, He already knows what's bothering you. Look at verses 1 and 2 of this chapter there, chapter 2. The Bible says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. That ought to excite us as Christians right there, that it doesn't matter where you're at. You can make any place a prayer closet. Here Jonah is in the midst of the sea. He's in the whale's belly. Probably the first time a prayer had ever come up from a whale's belly. And he turns it into a prayer closet right there. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And I love this. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Amen. Understand this, listen. If you're God's child, his ears are open to your prayers. Right. Your times of difficulty and suffering, his ears are open to your prayers. And listen, I want you to understand this. God knows what your voice sounds like. I don't know about you, but when my kids call my name, I usually can tell which one it is just by their voice. And I can respond to that. And there can be a bunch of kids around, other kids, but as parents, you know your child's voice. Here's what I want you to understand this morning. God knows your voice. And God will hear you in the midst of your difficulty. If you're a child of God, He hears your prayers. I want you to turn over to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34. David is the writer of this psalm, and he's dealing in a time of difficulty. David spent much of his early time on the run from Saul, as Saul was seeking his life. And this psalm is written, Saul's seeking his life. He's running from Saul. David goes to Gath. He tries to go to the Philistines, and they're of no help to him. And the Bible says he goes to the cave Adullam. Maybe you're familiar with that cave. That's where God would do a mighty work in David's life. That's where God would assemble David's mighty men. That's where his brothers would come and minister to him. But when he first got there, understand this, listen, David thought, I've got no one here on this earth to care for me. The king of Israel's after my life. The Philistines, they will not help me. And I want you to see what David did. Look in Psalm chapter 34 and verse 4. The Bible says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6, he says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open under their cry. Verses 17 and 18, I love these verses. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Look at verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Here's what I want you to see this morning. God has a special place for those that find themselves in verse 18 there. A broken heart. a contrite spirit that are willing to come to God and cry out to God and say, God, would you help me? I have no one else maybe here on this earth that will care for this situation, but God, I need your help. And the Bible says that God is nigh to them. You see, the Lord is a God of comfort. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong this morning. Listen, if your situation that you're dealing with is because of a sin in your life, and you're not willing to confess and forsake that sin, God cannot help you. But as a child of God, you can maybe cry out to Him all day long, but if you're still living that sin, God cannot help you. He's a God of righteousness. But here's what I want you to understand this morning. If you'll come to God, no matter what the source of hurting is, maybe it is through your own sin, and you're willing to confess and forsake that sin, and you're willing to cry out to God and say, God, I want the restoration of this fellowship. Here's the wonderful thing about our God. He'll look down to you and He'll begin to help to restore, mend the broken heart. Begin to pick up the pieces and begin to reassemble your life so that you can once again experience life as He had intended for you to experience it. And maybe the trial that you're dealing with is just a trial meant to build your faith. I find that God is waiting to hear from us in the times of difficulty, in the times in which we have nowhere else to hurt, to turn to, but turn to God. Listen, if you look to God today, He can help you. If you'll cry out to Him, He can help you. I want to say this, no loving parent would turn away from their child in their time of need. And I want you to understand that God is so much better of a father to us than we could ever be our children. And when we cry to Him, God is ready to help us. The first lesson we can learn from the life of Jonah from this prayer is that the Lord is waiting to hear from His child. Amen. Second lesson I want you to learn from the midst of our hurting here in this passage, and I love this, God is in control of all things, including the storms of life. God's in control of all things, including the storms of life. We see back in chapter 1 that God sends a storm as a result of trying to get a hold of Jonah. The Bible says in verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. Listen, Jonah, as the writer of this passage, is acknowledging that God sent that wind. God sent that storm. We see there in verse 17 of chapter 1, God prepared that great fish. The Bible says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. God had designed this fish to be able to swallow Jonah, and possibly its sole purpose in life was to fulfill what God had for him. But God was in control of the storm. God was in control of the fish. Jonah would acknowledge this, as we see there later on in chapter 2. Jonah would acknowledge that not only is God in control of the fish, God's in control of the storm, but look in chapter 2 and verse 3. The Bible says, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. He even acknowledged God's hand at throwing him into the water. That God had been designing all of this. That God was behind all of this. Look what he says at the end of verse 3. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. You know what Jonah was acknowledging? He was acknowledging that God was in complete control of everything. He was in control of the wind. He was in control of the boat. He was in control of even those that were on the boat and even the waves that would crash against the boat. And he was in control of the fish. Listen, I want you to understand this. Make no mistake about this. Jonah was in the midst of the greatest trial of his life. There was suffering going on. He's crying out to God from the belly of a whale. He's in the midst of some great suffering and some great trial. But I want you to see that he was able to take comfort in the fact that God was bigger than the whale. God was bigger than the storm. And God was in complete control of all things. Now I want you to see and compare this with the hard attitude that Jonah has in chapter 1. Remember when God comes to Jonah, he says, Jonah, you're my servant. Your life has been called to do what I've asked you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh. What was Jonah's attitude? No, God, I'm in control. I'm going to do what I want to do. You see, I found in reading this passage that oftentimes those times of suffering, they get us to take our eyes off ourselves. There are times in which we think we are in control of life, aren't they? I can manufacture this. I can make this happen. And many times God allows suffering to come into our hearts and into our lives so that it'll take our eyes off of ourselves, and we'll look to Him and realize He is in control of all things. He is Lord of all. understand there what a blessing it is that we can outrun the presence of God. In fact, I want to read very quickly, if you'll just jot this passage of Scripture down, Psalms chapter 139. I love the psalmist David as he says there in Psalm chapter 139, verse 7. He says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." What a blessing to understand. And what Jonah is finding out is even in the midst of the sea, even in the midst of this whale, he can't outrun the presence of God. And the truth is, as Christians, sometimes, because of temptation or because of our own foolish choices, we may try to outrun the presence of God. But I want you to understand something. In the midst of suffering, isn't it a wonderful thing that to know that you can't outrun the presence of God? Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God will be with you whatever you go through? The times in which you're just crying out to God in the midst of the night, and maybe no one knows what's going on in your life. Yet God knows. And His presence is there, even when no one else's presence can be found. If you're saved today, understand what Jonah is saying. He's saying God is in control of all things. Amen. Look at verse 4 of Jonah chapter 2. I love this. "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." Jonah acknowledges, "I'm separated from God right now. There's a loss of fellowship." But Jonah realized God is faithful and I know where I can find Him. He's there in His holy temple, and if I'm willing to forsake these things, if I'm willing to forsake what's caused a loss of fellowship already and look back to God in His holy temple, He'll restore that fellowship. I'm reminded of the story as we think about this idea of God being in control of all our circumstances. The story of that hymn that the choir sang this morning, "It Is Well." The story goes like this. There was a man by the name of Horatio Spafford. He was living in Chicago in the late 1800s. He was a devout Christian, loved the Lord, and the Lord had blessed him, and he had built quite a wealthy business. He was a lawyer. And he was involved in much of, with D.L. Moody and some of those other guys in evangelistic efforts, and the Lord was blessing him. And yet, 1871, the story says that the Great Chicago Fire ripped through Chicago there and destroyed much of what he had worked so hard to attain. And many would say that would have been a devastating blow, a time of suffering, and certainly it was, but that wasn't the worst thing that he was going to suffer. Just 2 years later, in 1873, his wife and his four daughters were going to go on a trip, a vacation. He was in some evangelistic efforts, and they were going to head towards England. And once he was finished, he was going to meet them in England for a time of rest and relaxation. They boarded a boat on the eastern seaboard and headed across the Atlantic, his wife and four daughters. In the midst of that trip, their boat struck another boat. It sank immediately, and his wife just barely survived. Lost all four of his girls that day. Obviously very devastated with all things, Horatio Spafford got on a boat himself and traveled across the Atlantic to be with his wife and to comfort his grieving wife. He asked the captain on the boat, he said, "When we get to the place, the approximate location that their ship went down, would you please notify me?" And they got out there, the captain called him up. When they got to that location, he said, "This is about the location that the boat that went down carrying your daughters." Horatio Spafford knew this, that his four daughters, their bodies were beneath them in the water. The story goes on to say that he went back to his room there on the ship. He took out a pen and he began to write these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, the good times of life." He said, "When sorrows like sea billows roll." You can almost hear the emotion in his voice as he writes those words: "When sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." I can't even imagine what he would have gone through in losing his four precious girls there in that watery grave. But understand this. Horatio Spafford realized God is in complete control of all things. God's in control of these circumstances. And in the time of one of the greatest trials of his life, he realized, while I'm suffering, God is still in control. And I love the words that he writes at the end of that: "O Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. When he'd be reunited with those four girls and realize God's plan, an ultimate plan for his life. But in the midst of hurting, he could say it as well. Why could he say that? Because he realized God's in control of all things, even the storms of this life. Here's what I love about the book of Jonah. Jonah teaches us, listen, that if God's in control of the problem, he's in control of the solution. If God has the problem in hand, make no mistake about it, Christian, God has the solution in hand. And I don't know what you might be suffering from this morning, but understand that God is in control of all things. The final lesson we learn from this passage, Jonah chapter 2, is God's mercy is upon those that look to him. Look at verse 8, if you would. The Bible says there, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Say, what's Jonah talking about there? Well, this is a reference to those that would make idols their God. Those that would observe lying vanities. Obviously, the children of Israel were very familiar with idol worship as they had been in Egypt and they had observed some of these things. And not only that, as Jonah was called to go to the Ninevites, they would have been worshipers of idols. And what's he saying? Jonah's saying, listen, if you're looking to anything but God to get you to heaven, you're forsaking the mercy that God so richly has for you. You're saying no to God's mercy. No, I'm going to figure it out on my own. And listen, as we gather here today in a crowd this size, surely there's someone that may not know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care what the world would teach you. And I don't care what your thought process is. Listen, understand this. Some are looking to a church to get you to heaven. And I want to say this, a church can never get you to heaven. Some are looking to righteous living to get them to heaven. And I'm saying that righteous living, while it's a good thing to be a good person and to treat other people fairly, listen, you can never be good enough to go to heaven. And if you're looking to anything besides Jesus Christ and Him alone to get you to heaven, understand this, you're doing what Jonah says here. You're forsaking the mercy that God so richly has for you. But as a Christian, do you realize not only can an unsaved person forsake the mercy God has for them, but I believe Jonah would reference himself in chapter 1. Those that observing lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. Understand this, had Jonah not made an idol out of himself, had Jonah not said, I'm going to do what I want to do, and thereby forsook the mercy that God so richly had for him. But look at verse 9. When he was ready to look back to God, he says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He realized, listen, when I'm ready to look to God, there's enough mercy and there's enough grace for me to have. And I love this thought because look again at the attitude change between chapter 2 and chapter 1. In chapter 2, he says, I will sacrifice unto thee. I will pay the vow that I have vowed. He says, I will sacrifice unto thee with thanksgiving. You know, one of the greatest things you can do in your time of hurting, in your time of suffering, is thank the Lord. Praise God. You say, how would Jonah praise God in the midst of this difficulty? Well, he could praise God that he wasn't dead. He could praise God that God still had a purpose for his life. And there are times in which we go through our own times of suffering. And it seems like the storms of this life are so great upon us. And I want to say, listen, sometimes we say there's nothing that I can praise God about. But if you're saved, you can praise God for His mercy in saving you. You can praise God for your home in heaven that He's providing for you. The final lesson that we can learn from this passage is God's mercy is upon those that look to Him. If you can't find anything else to thank God for in the midst of your trial, thank Him for His grace in saving you. When my soul fainted within me, Jonah would write. You ever been there? When my soul fainted within me. What took Jonah from his time of despair to his time of hope? This is what happened. He said, I remember the Lord. In the midst of that trial, I remember the Lord was on my side. In the midst of that difficulty, I remembered that I'm a believer, that I'm a child of God. And here's what I love about this book here. Look at verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. There's deliverance right there. Deliverance from that trial. May not have been the way Jonah chose to be delivered, but it was deliverance. What I love about the story of Job is there's victory in the end. There's deliverance from that difficulty. Why? Because they look to God. The story of Jonah, this prayer from the whale's belly, teaches us that God is always waiting to hear from us. That God's in control of all things, and God's mercy is upon those that look to Him. Again, as you come to this place today, I don't know what you're dealing with. I understand, though, that as we just deal with normal things of life, there's trials that come upon us from every side. There's struggles. And listen, you may say, well, to everyone else it may seem small, but to me it's a really big thing. And I understand that. And everyone else understands that as well, because everyone else has been there. And yet, what a great lesson to learn from the life of Jonah. If we'll simply look to God, He can help us through those trials. He can bring us through that time of difficulty and that time of suffering to where we can experience victory, because God is good. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.